Good morning, and welcome to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. I invite you to stay with us for the next hour here on this March 30th, 2017 edition. We're going to spend time in God's Word as we continue our study of the Old Testament in 2017. And this morning, we're going to consider 1 Samuel chapters 10 through 15 as King Saul is rejected by God, and we'll be getting to that in just a few moments. But before that, we want to remind you of some of the things that are on our bulletin board this morning. And one of those is coming up April 10th is the last edition of the Bible Bowl series of Northeast Texas. This final meeting will be at the North Jefferson Church of Christ in Mount Pleasant, Texas. And the final topic of testing will be Esther, chapters 10 through 12. Also coming up on March 31st, this Friday, tomorrow, is an area-wide congregational singing to be held at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas. And that is going to be from 6:30 to 8 p.m. We're hoping you can attend and join us as we sing hymns of praise. And this will be setting the stage for a gospel meeting that will begin on Sunday and run through Wednesday the 5th. And that's at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ. The speaker is going to be Kerry Clark from Athens, Texas. And the theme is the Unstoppable Church of Jesus the Christ, and that will begin, as we said, this Sunday, April 2nd. Also, another gospel meeting that will be going on at that same time, if you're in the Tyler, Texas area, will be a gospel meeting at the Broadway Church of Christ. The speaker is going to be Brother Jim Laws, their pulpit minister. And that is going to be a great series of meetings there in Tyler, Texas, at the Broadway congregation, nightly at 7 p.m. Today is the last day of the Memphis School of Preaching Lectures, the 51st annual. They've had a great series of lessons there. And you have the opportunity today, if you're there in that area, and that'll run through this evening. Okay, that's all we have on our bulletin board at this time. We want you to let us know of events coming up in your area if you'd like to publicize those. And also, I know that at this time, summer camps are getting ready. We're going to be having a lot of information about Camp Ida coming up, and maybe you have information in your area. Many congregations will be having summer series coming up soon, and they're making plans for that now, so be sure and let us know of those as you get those formulated so that we can help to publicize those series for you. Okay, we're going to turn now our attention to our lesson this morning, and that is 1 Samuel chapters 10 through 15. Now, remember as we go into chapter 10 that at the very end of chapter 9 we see that Saul was promised that the prophet Samuel would show him the words of God. And so in chapter 9 and verse 27, it says, as they were going down to the outskirts of the city, Samuel said to Saul, tell the servant to go on ahead of us. And he went on, but you stand here a while, that I may announce to you the word of God. And so chapter 10 begins with the anointing of Saul as king. In verse 1, then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? Saul would receive signs as confirmation after the anointing as king by Samuel. Verse 2. When you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say to you, "The donkeys which you went to look for have been found. And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worrying about you, saying, 'What shall I do about my son?'" So first, two men will be seen at Rachel's tomb with the donkeys they had been searching for. Verse 3, "Then you shall go forward from there and come to the terebinth tree of Tabor. There, three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands." So Saul would encounter three men at Tabor, and they would give bread to him. Verse 5, "After that you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them. And they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned in to another man." So Saul would encounter a group of prophets, and they would prophesy, and Saul would also prophesy. Verse 7, "And let it be, when these signs come to you, that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you." Saul was given these signs as confirmation that he was chosen by God to lead Israel. Verse 8, "You shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do." So Samuel gives instruction to Saul to go down to Gilgal, and there Saul was to wait 7 days. At that time Samuel would come and make offerings and sacrifice and pass on to Saul the instructions of the Lord God. The signs that were prophesied in verse 7 would come to pass. Even the fact that the Holy Spirit would temporarily give Saul the ability to prophesy. And this certainly created questions among the people. Verse 11, "And it happened, when all who knew him formerly saw that he indeed prophesied among the prophets, that the people said to one another, 'What is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?' Then a man from there answered and said, 'But who is their father?' Therefore it became a proverb, 'Is Saul also among the prophets?'" An uncle of Saul inquires about what Samuel had told him, and he relates the information to him, except for what Samuel had said to him regarding the kingdom. We pick up in verse 14. "Then Saul's uncle said to him and his servant, 'Where did they go?' So he said, 'To look for the donkeys. When we saw that they were nowhere to be found, we went to Samuel.' And Saul's uncle said, 'Tell me, please, what Samuel said to you.' So Saul said to his uncle, He told us plainly that the donkeys had been found. But about the matter of the kingdom, he did not tell him what Samuel had said. And so now Samuel gathers the people together, and he tells them that they have rejected God, and that they had made a poor decision in asking for a king. Verse 17. Then Samuel called the people together to the Lord at Mizpah, and said to the children of Israel, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians, and from the hand of all kingdoms, and from those who oppressed you. But you have today rejected your God, who himself saves you from all your adversities and your tribulations. And you have said to him, No, set a king over us. Now therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your clans. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was chosen. And when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was chosen. And Saul, the son of Kish, was chosen. But when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, Has the man come here yet? And the Lord answered, There he is, hidden among the equipment. Saul is pronounced as the chosen one of God. There was already rebels among them ready to capitalize. Verse 23. So they ran and brought him from there. And when he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upward. And Samuel said to all the people, Do you see him whom the Lord has chosen, that there is no one like him among the people? So all the people shouted and said, Long live the king. Then Samuel explained to the people the behavior of royalty, and wrote it in a book, and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and valiant men went with him, whose hearts God had touched. But some rebels said, How can this man save us? So they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. Saul had hidden himself because of his humility and his goodness. But oh, how this would soon change. We would be hard-pressed to find a better example of how power is corrupting, as we see it manifest in the person of King Saul. God will still work his plan in spite of their rejection of the system of judges. For man, however, this was going to lead to much misery in years to come because they had rejected God. And so we move into chapter 11 now. And chapter 11 begins with the king of the Ammonites coming against the men of Jabesh-Gilead. And fearfully the men of Jabesh-Gilead desire to make a pact with the Ammonites. Nahash, the king of the Ammonites, agreed to the covenant. But the cost would be that they would all have their right eyes put out in Jabesh. They wanted a week's time to see if any help could be obtained. Verse 1. Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, "Make a covenant with us, and we will serve you." And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, "On this condition I will make a covenant with you, that I may put out all your right eyes and bring reproach on all Israel." Then the elders of Jabesh said to him, "Hold off for 7 days, that we may send messengers to all the territory of Israel. And then, if there is no one to save us, we will come out to you." So the messengers came to Gibeah of Saul and told the news in the hearing of all the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. It is sad that God's people were so quickly ready to give up and join themselves with evil men. But you don't have to think hard to see the comparison within the church today. Saul receives the report of the men of Jabesh and reacts with great anger. And now, beginning in verse 5, we see the wrath of Saul. Now there was Saul coming behind the herd from the field. And Saul said, "What troubles the people that they weep?" And they told him the words of the men of Jabesh. Then the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard this news, and his anger was greatly aroused. So he took a yoke of oxen and cut them in pieces, and sent them throughout all the territory of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, "Whoever does not go out with Saul and Samuel to battle, so it shall be done to his oxen." And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. When he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. Saul was ready to stand in the gap. God needs men and women to do the same today as the church is coming under increasing attack. God needs men and women who will be strong and of good courage, that will go forward and press on while others are in retreat. Again, see what Saul did. He cut a yoke of oxen into pieces and sent the parts throughout Israel, telling the men of Israel that he will do the same to them if they refuse to come out and fight with him and Samuel. And verse 7 says that they responded with one consent to the call of Saul. The message will be sent to Jabesh that help is on the way. Verse 9. And they said to the messengers who came, "Thus you shall say to the men of Jabesh-Gilead, tomorrow, by the time the sun is hot, you shall have help." Then the messengers came and reported it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Israel, behind Saul, would wreak great destruction upon Nahash and his Ammonite army. Verse 11. And so it was on the next day that Saul put the men in three companies, and they came into the midst of the camp in the morning watch, and killed Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it happened that those who survived were scattered, so that no two of them were left together. Only a small number of the Ammonites would survive the slaughter. The men of Israel then desired to execute those who had earlier rejected Saul as king. Saul, at this point, still possessed a good heart, and he would not allow the executions. Verse 12. Then the people said to Samuel, "Who is he who said, 'Shall Saul reign over us?' Bring them in that we may put them to death." But Saul said, "Not a man shall be put to death this day, for today the Lord has accomplished salvation in Israel." Saul is now crowned king in Israel, and the celebrations ring out across the land. But God was saddened by their reaction. Saddened in that rejecting his leading them, and that they had a greater desire to be like other nations around them. Does this remind you of the church today? Do we have a problem with congregations desiring to be like the religious world around them? Yes, I believe that the comparison is good here and that God is saddened by such. Verse 14. Then Samuel said to the people, "Come, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there." So all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. There they made sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord. And there Saul and the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. Chapter 12 begins with Samuel addressing the people as Saul is crowned as king. Samuel takes this time to reflect on his life as God's prophet among the people. Verse 1. "Now Samuel said to all Israel, 'Indeed, I have heeded your voice in all that you said to me, and have made a king over you. And now here is the king walking before you. And I am old and gray-headed. And look, my sons are with you. I have walked before you from my childhood to this day. Here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose donkey have I taken? Or whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? Or from whose hand have I received any bribe with which to blind my eyes? I will restore it to you.' And they said, 'You have not cheated us or oppressed us, nor have you taken anything from any man's hand.' Then he said to them, 'The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found anything in my hand.' And they answered, 'He is witness.'" In response to the address of Samuel, the people acknowledge that he has behaved appropriately in all things before them. Samuel had truly lived his life blamelessly before others. In fact, all Christians should live blamelessly even in this present age. They vow before the Lord that the words of Samuel were true. And Samuel now begins to review to them how God had been good and faithful to them in times past, that God had cared for them and fought for them and providentially protected them. Verse 6. Then Samuel said to the people, "It is the Lord who raised up Moses and Aaron, and who brought your fathers up from the land of Egypt. Now therefore, stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and your fathers, when Jacob had gone into Egypt, and your fathers cried out to the Lord. Then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, commander of the army of Hazor, into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. Then they cried out to the Lord, and served, said, 'We have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and served the Baals and Ashtoreths. But now deliver us from the hand of our enemies, and we will serve you.' And the Lord sent Jerubbaal, Bedan, Jephthah, and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwelt in safety." Samuel, now he turns and points out the path that had led to the current day and to how Saul came to be their king. Verse 12. "And when you saw Nahash, king of the Ammonites, came against you, you said to me, 'No, but a king shall reign over us,' when the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore, here is the king whom you have chosen, and whom you have desired. And take note, the Lord has set a king over you." Yet our gracious God still loved and cared for Israel, in spite of the fact that they had rejected him as their leader. But God desired for Israel to be obedient, and if they would be obedient, he would bless them. Verse 14. "If you fear the Lord and serve him, and obey his voice, and do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then both you and the king who reigns over you will continue following the Lord your God. However, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you, as it was against your fathers." The next few verses would definitely make quite an impression upon anyone witnessing the events. God's power would bring fear upon the people. Verse 16. "Now therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is today not the wheat harvest? I will call to the Lord, and he will send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking a king for yourselves." So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. The prophet Samuel loved his people, his nation, and he prayed to God on their behalf as they had requested. In verse 19, "And all the people said to Samuel, 'Pray for your servants to the Lord your God, that we may not die. For we have added to all our sins the evil of asking a king for ourselves.'" Samuel offers his prayer before the Lord, And he informs the people that in spite of their rebellion in this manner, that God will still bless them if they will follow the Lord. Verse 20. Then Samuel said to the people, "Do not fear. You have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord. But serve the Lord with all your heart, and do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things, which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way." And now chapter 12 comes to a conclusion with another warning to faithfulness. Verse 24, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king." What an amazing individual we find in Samuel. Samuel prayed for and loved his people no matter how they treated him or acted toward him. He did not abandon his people. And so now we move into chapter 13. Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose for himself 3,000 men of Israel. 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash in the mountains of Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. The rest of the people he sent away, every man to his tent. And Jonathan attacked the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. Then Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." Now all Israel heard it and said that Saul had attacked a garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel had become an abomination to the Philistines. And the people were called together to Saul at Gilgal. And so chapter 13 begins with Saul's army at war against the Philistines. And Jonathan attacks the Philistine garrison that was in Geba. We continue in verse 5. Then the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and encamped in Michmash to the east of Beth Avon. When the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed, then the people hid in caves and in thickets and in rocks and holes and in pits. And some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. We would ask the question, why were the people so fearful? Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8 says, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." What an awful group that the cowardly is included among there. And then we see the Israelites trembling with fear as the Philistines gathered their armies at Michmash. How sad to see the Israelites trembling with fear and scared as they developed a version of the grasshopper syndrome that we read of in the days of Joshua and Caleb. They hid in any place they could find, and those in Gilgal followed in fright behind the shadow of Saul. Oh, how little was their faith. And now, Saul, unfortunately, is about to make a mistake that will haunt him forever. Verse 9. So Saul said, "Bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me." And he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened, as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering, that Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might greet him. Samuel was slow in getting to Saul, and so Saul decides to take it upon himself to offer a burnt offering, which he had no right to offer. Pride had caused Saul to take upon himself the priesthood. Pride and arrogance will still lead men to destruction, even in 2017. Saul had thought more highly of himself than he ought. And we now see the rebuke by Samuel and the consequence for Saul. We pick up in verse 11. And Samuel said, "What have you done?" Saul said, "When I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, 'The Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord.' Therefore I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded over you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." Then Samuel arose and went up from Gilgal to Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people present with him, about 600 men. Saul, as a result of his disobedience, was going to have his kingdom taken away from him. Again, notice back to verse 14. "But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." My friends, let us choose to be commandment keepers and not act as modern-day Sauls by failing to keep the commandments. Instead, let us choose to keep what the Lord has commanded us, and we can know of a surety that our reward will be great. So the Philistines begin their plan for battle. Verse 17. Then raiders came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned onto the road to Ophrah, to the land of Shual. Another company turned to the road to Beth Horon, and another company turned to the road of the border that overlooks the valley of Zeboam toward the wilderness. The Philistines had taken previous actions to ensure their advantage. Verse 19. Now there was no blacksmith to be found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, "Lest the Hebrews make swords or spears." But all the Israelites would go down to the Philistines to sharpen each man's plowshare, his mattock, his axe, and his sickle. And the charge for sharpening was a pin for the plowshares, the mattocks, the forks, and the axes, and to set the points of the goads. So it came about on the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people who were with Saul and Jonathan, but they were found with Saul and Jonathan his son. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the pass of Michmash. And so we move forward into chapter 14, and let's now consider some of the highlights in chapter 14. First, notice the faith and trust of Jonathan in facing the Philistines. And in verse 6, it said, "Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, 'Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few.'" So Jonathan and his armor-bearer go to the Philistines, and 20 men quickly fall to their sword within less than half an acres of ground. You see, when God is for you, who can be against us? Two will defeat 2 million 100% of the time if God is on their side. And now see the reaction of the Philistines to two men who come to them in the name of the Lord. Notice verse 15. "And there was trembling in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. The garrison and the raiders also trembled. And the earth quaked, so that it was a very great trembling." The Israelites were going to be given victory over the physically superior Philistines because God was on their side. Notice verse 23. "So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle shifted to Beth Avon. Saul given an order for the men not to eat, but instead to pursue the battle." Notice verse 24. "And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had placed the people under oath, saying, 'Cursed is the man who eats any food until evening, before I have taken vengeance on my enemies.' So none of the people tasted food." According to verse 27, Jonathan was not aware of the order of his father, the king. He then takes nourishment from a honeycomb to satisfy his hunger. In verse 28, Jonathan is made aware of the order of the king. Jonathan is upset at the order of Saul. He believed it to be unwise and foolish. And let's look at verses 29 and 30 now. But Jonathan said, "My father has troubled the land. Look now, how my countenance has brightened because I tasted a little of this honey. How much better if the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies which they found. For would there not have been a much greater slaughter among the Philistines?" Israel, as a result largely of their hunger, would not sin greatly after the victory was won, and the Philistines were driven away from Michmash. And now we see they ate of the spoils of the battle. Notice verse 32. "And the people rushed on the spoil, and took sheep, oxen, and calves, and slaughtered them on the ground, and the people ate them with the blood." They even ate the blood. The sin was great, according to verse 33. How quickly it is that men fall to a state of depravity after good things happen so often. Verse 33. "Then they told Saul, saying, 'Look, the people are sinning against the Lord by eating with the blood.' So he said, 'You have dealt treacherously. Roll a large stone to me this day.'" Saul learns that Jonathan had eaten food against his order. Saul says that Jonathan must be executed, even though he is his son. The Israelites rescue Jonathan because they loved him for bringing great victory to Israel. And notice verse 45. "But the people said to Saul, 'Shall Jonathan die, who has accomplished this great deliverance in Israel?' 'Certainly not. As the Lord lives, not one hair of his head shall fall to the ground, for he has worked with God this day.' So the people rescued Jonathan, and he did not die." And the remainder of chapter 14 continues to relate the continuing battles of Saul. In the opening verses of chapter 15, the Israelites are ordered to destroy the Amalekites. They were to utterly destroy everything. Notice verse 3. "Now go and attack Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." Paul very presumptuously Saul presumptuously disobeys God and incurs God's anger. Look at verse 9. "But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless they utterly destroyed." The Lord God has always demanded complete obedience on the part of his people, and this time again proves to be no exception. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." We certainly see that principle here. Saul had spared the life of Agag and the best of the livestock. God was greatly angered at the rebellious act of Saul. Saul again had decided to do it his way rather than God's way. and there would be great consequence. Verse 10. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me, and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Saul, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Saul lied about his obedience. And my friend, you cannot fool God. You may fool man, but you cannot fool God. And the cost for Saul was going to be great. Verse 13. Then Samuel went to Saul. And Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And notice verse 20 as Saul continues his folly. Verse 20, And Saul said to Samuel, But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. And so we find that Saul would be exposed by Samuel. Go back to verse 14. But Samuel said, Why then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? The cost of sin will now come falling down on Saul. Verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. God had rejected Saul as the king of Israel, and the kingdom was going to be stripped from Saul, and it was going to be given to a better man. We must be willing to obey all of the particulars of God's word, or we are simply wasting time. Verse 24. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me, that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord. And the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned around to go away, Saul seized the edge of his robe, and it tore. So Samuel said to him, The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today, and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. And also, the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent, for he is not a man that he should relent. When Samuel turned away from Saul, he grabbed his robe, and the robe tore as he pulled away. Oh, how hard the words of Samuel must have fell upon Saul. The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today, and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. And the chapter closes as Saul completes the command of the Lord that Saul failed to do. Verse 32. Then Samuel said, Bring Agag, king of the Amalekites, here to me. So Agag came to him cautiously. And Agag said, Surely the bitterness of death is past. But Samuel said, "As your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women." And Samuel hacked Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. The sad story and history of King Saul. Israel rejected God as their king. They rejected the system of the judges. They asked for a king, and God granted that to them. And even then, he said he would bless them if they remained obedient. Saul, who began a man full of humility and a good heart, would become corrupted by power, as so many have been through the ages. He would rebel against the commandment of God. The kingdom would be torn from him. But a road would begin. Oh, there would be a few good kings, but many bad ones. And a road that didn't have to be taken if only they had followed the Lord their God. Thank you for joining me this morning. Stay tuned for the programs throughout the rest of the day, and also tune in again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for another edition of Mornings for the Master with Chris Groda and J.J. Hendricks. And if the Lord wills, I'll see you again next week at this same time, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for Mornings for the Master. I also encourage you to join me Friday at 11 a.m. for studies in the Gospels as we study through the life of Christ there. So again, until next time, this is Chris McElyea saying so long and have a great day.